I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh, is this it then?
For the whole week.
Is this it? Is this
Maybe.
The end of the season? Do you meet people that you're just sort of...
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to...
And I want, God, there's so many things I have to introduce. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to James and Flav for now. On the ripple effect, I'm
very... Do you always start with hello?
Yeah.
Do you always start with hello, everybody?
Yeah. I always start with hello, everybody. Because I nearly said it on the ripple effect. I nearly went, hello, everybody. Welcome back to James. But I didn't.
I say hello and welcome. That's what and it's the most basic, boring thing you could say, but I've said it since the start of the podcast.
Solid. Solid and effective. Hello, friends. I say so. I think on my own. If I'm doing it on my own, I'll say hello, friends. I don't know. What do I? We did this a little while ago, which I think is a dangerous question to ask our beloved patrons, but kind of what stuff do we say a lot? What, and I didn't realize, but apparently I said, honestly, don't worry about it a lot. I've been told off for saying, stop saying, they told me to stop saying, one must beware hubris now. That they've had enough of that. That joke.
Who told you?
Someone said it in the comments. It said, you're saying it in every video now. Just stop it. It's a great phrase.
Actually, mind your own business.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's someone. Caroline Flack at and when Harry Styles was young, wasn't he?
True.
Still.
True. Still. I think, how old was it? Yeah, 16. I mean, she was in her 20s. Cheryl Cole was 33 at the time. That is older.
According to our comments, I don't know.
Okay.
It seems to be I'm not sure if this is the right, you know, platform or show to discuss this, but there is, you got to be careful. You just can't go around just because you want to.
Yeah.
I say just because you want to, I don't want to at all.
No.
I'm just saying if you're Philip Schofield, you might want to, but you don't.
Yeah. And on our beloved mailbags, you've expressed quite clearly that as you grow older, your taste for women gets older. Here's one for you. I had a little chat with the wife yesterday about this. Joanna Lumley, what were we saying? Would you make love to Joanna Lumley?
I mean, I would. Like, I absolutely would because it's... Well, how could you have that opportunity and not do it? Like I said many times, you have to live life. You have to have experiences.
I think that's
Joanna Lumley put it on. If Joanna Lumley put it on a plate, there isn't. What kind of person are you if you say no? Like, what? It's like, oh, do you want to go on a trip to South America for 6 months and explore every inch of it? Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
That's the same as being offered sex with Joanna Lumley.
Thing is, her voice is fantastic as well.
Yeah, it is. She could. Yeah, she could make you arrive by just reading.
Yeah, look, Joanna Lumley on poetry. Just quickly, very quickly, just hear like literally a sentence from her.
So you can imagine five rows of galleys of slaves dipping and pulling.
Oh, I mean, come on. I don't know if you heard that, but I certainly did. And it was delightful. She's one of the favourite people I've ever met. And I don't know if it's Wolf of Wall Street as well. Anyway, we're watching like a little program. She's great to chuck one of her travel shows on if you're struggling to sleep. Because she'll just, isn't it wonderful? The Nile. You could just be here for months, couldn't you? Couldn't you? Couldn't you?
Mm.
Oh, she's great. And but anyway, Wolf of Wall Street, she's kind of hot, isn't she? She's kind of hot in that.
She's in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, she's Leonardo DiCaprio's.
How old is Joanna Lumley?
Auntie-in-law, if that makes sense.
How old is Joanna Lumley?
Well, because the debate we had was, I said Joanna Lumley, what a beautiful woman! Like, she looks amazing, and Fan went, would you? 77. but she looks great. That is old though. But you know.
Mean, for a 77-year-old, she looked great. Yeah.
Yeah. Hang on, let me find one that it's works not, for me. I mean,
what is that? Mirren?
What is a Mirren? You put in the same sort of area. I mean,
Mirren's
maybe
like 82.
A picture doesn't do it, but she's better in video than she is picture, I'll be honest. But I said she went, you're a disgrace. And as you just said, I think life is for living. Yeah, Tom Jordan says 77 just screams experience. Yeah, in a fragile voice, it screams experience. Yeah. I said to Fan, well, what about George Clooney? He's 62. I mean, 62 is a bit different. But, you know, would you get with it? Dench, says Luke. What do you think?
Dench is too much.
It's a no for me. It's a hot, firm no for Dench. The stench of Dench.
All right. Well, what is Judy Dench? Well, she's 88. She's nearly 90 years old. There is a line.
The stench of Dench. It's the 38th podcast of the year.
Football's over and done with. No one gives a shit.
Yeah, we're running low.
Football's done. No one cares.
We've got a little bit. We've got some stuff here. We've got some unsolved mysteries from the season. We've got loads, actually. So that's good. That'll fill a bit of time.
I'll fill a bit of time for you, Jim.
Go on.
Mason Mount going to Manchester United on a free transfer. And
this is Man United.
Kovacic. This is even more mental. Kovacic, 35 million to Man City.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you seeing this? BBC gossip?
That's just Talk Sport.
Oh, Talk well, they wouldn't lie.
I had it on the way.
Really?
Kovacic. That seems mad. Because
35 mil?
Like...
They do need to sell a few.
Kovacic.
They do need to sell a few, I will say that. I mean, Man Kovacic, City. How old do you think
Man
Kovacic
City
is?
He's about 32, I think.
See, I get that feeling. I think he's actually a bit younger.
Man City granted permission to speak to Mateo Kovacic. Now,
29.
Riddle me this. 29. Riddle me this. Why in God's fucking name do they need Kovacic when Calvin Phillips has played 4 minutes for Man City?
Maybe Gundogan's on his way.
Yeah, that is true.
Because if they win it all, then... it's tough, isn't it? Because it's like if you're having blissful sex all the time, but that blissful sex is under a contract, right? But you've completed, you've done everything, everything, and it's been great. It's been great, yeah.
69s, it's done.
Or would you just be like joyful and happy and want that to last forever, that blissful sex, or would you want a lower level of sex but just with someone new?
I'm past the point in my life now where I want sex with someone new. However, there was an era in my life where no matter how beautiful the woman, you just needed a new one.
Yeah.
That came out all wrong.
You started so well there. So, okay. Of course, just to caveat this entire thing I'm about to say, I don't want to have sex. Full stop, pretty much. But yeah, blissful sex under a contract.
You're right, and exactly. Maybe Kovacic would. This is like, or maybe for Pep,
it's more Gundogan. Kovacic. It's an upgrade. But for Gundogan, it's you've had your pristine, perfect, beautiful, wonderful, whilst doing everything intense, sex. And you just want to go slum it.
Something new.
Yeah. Go slum it at Barcelona.
Kovacic has done well though, hasn't he? He's been sort of essentially bombed out of Real Madrid, didn't want him, sent on loan to Chelsea, has really cemented himself in that Chelsea side and has now got a move to the best team in the world.
They do, they love him as well, don't they? Chelsea fans.
Do they?
One of the hipsters' favourites. Hipsters, or Twitter hipsters, it's generally a Chelsea player that they'll have. Hazard, Kovacic, Jorginho. Those will be the guys that they'll go to. Kovacic is one. Have you? Are the players that you're just like, I presume. Kovacic is one of those where you said 32. I went, absolutely fine. If you told me he was 35, I'd go, fine.
Yeah.
There's certain players that you just always felt are like even Jude Bellingham now, he's 19. In my head, he's 26. Is that all he is? He's 26 in my head. Do you know what I mean?
I know. I understand completely. Well, and actually, you know, was he 29 now? Like 30, 31, 32 isn't old in the modern game. They're so fit. So, you know, take care of themselves, Jim.
Yeah, you're just looking at them, you're thinking, they're fit.
You're like, look at them big, fit men.
Yeah.
I've got a question about the decision-making here, though, Jim. Okay. Because, like, Pochettino's come in. Surely you'd want people that know the place. You know, Kovacic and Mount are both, you would consider, first-team footballers for Chelsea. He's coming in with a lot of players that have been there and not a lot, you know, a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And maybe he just thinks, because he did something similar, and I'm not saying this is even his fault. This is probably decided before he even come in. But he did something similar at Spurs with getting rid of Cabal, getting rid of Adebayor, getting rid of Aaron Lennon, just dropping the midfield. I can't remember who it was. It's maybe Sandro.
Maybe it's just because of what occurred afterwards, but when you read out that name, those names, they all feel lazy to me.
Yes, they weren't willing to do what he wanted.
Yeah. I don't think Kovacic or Mount of that. This is like the. We're going to get to some unsolved mysteries. You guys have done brilliantly, by the way, guys. Well done. Because I enjoyed this last year, so I want to do it again. But with Chelsea, what could be amazing here is the fact that, like, because they've bought these players that they have to kind of stick with, that they're not sure about, they're actually going to get rid of the few players that that have been consistently solid for them.
They can rely on.
Because of having to crowbar the guys that they've spent too much money on. Like, it could get worse here.
You can't bomb out. Mudrik's a bad example, but one of the other players they've bought, right, I can't remember their names now. Right, you can't bomb them out because they've got 8-year contracts, right? It's too late to go, actually, this isn't working. What do we do with them for the next 7.5 years? You have to try and make it work. And you're right, you're relying on Mason. You should be relying on Mason Mount and Kovacic because they will deliver and have delivered over and over again. Mason Mount is a first name pretty much on Southgate's team sheet. He's a good, really good player. To let him go to Manchester United on a free, to enable that to happen in the same fashion as Spurs.
He won't go to free.
Isn't it free?
No. Mount's still got... I think Mount's... Like, now's the time. You've basically... I don't think it's either got 1 year or 2 years left. Guys, let me know in the comments. Right. I can't remember. I think it's two. And so it's one of those where it's like, you got to sign the contract or we need to sell you because we need to get as much money out of you as possible.
Not with 2 years left. You could force him to stay.
It's definitely not free. It might be going into his final year. It could be that, which is pretty shocking.
Maybe it's that.
And the contract's an interesting one, isn't it? Like, because he's like, Aubameyang's on 300 a week or like Sterling's on 300 a week. And so he's going, 1 year left. There you go. That makes more sense.
He's in his last year now.
So he's going, well, can I have 250 then? And they're like, he was on 80 and they're going, well, we'll give you 140. And he's going, well, yeah. And they go, that's a massive bump. He goes, yeah, but he's not worth 240. But is Sterling worth 240?
No. They've overpaid and they created a rod for their back.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but you could also understand his point of view is what I'm saying.
Of course, I understand that, but fundamentally, and this isn't the case, and the agent is there to compare their value to other members of the squad. You think Aubameyang is worth £300,000, so surely you must understand that Mason Mount is worth near that, right? Or not more, actually. So you can understand what it is, but they go, no, we fucked up with Aubameyang. That's what you don't understand. We really messed up and we can't do that again. That's why we can't give you that. How they've got to a position where they've brought Aubameyang back did they get buy-in back or is it back from loan off Barcelona?
I think Barcelona was just trying to get rid of people, so they were allowed him. But he came because Tuchel loved him at Dortmund, and then he was sacked like 24 hours later.
What the hell do I do with this guy? Because that game we played in the Champions League, It might have been against, I can't remember, but Arsenal, we put, I think we put him back in it. I've got a question for you, Jim.
Go on.
Is Lampard the worst manager the Premier League has ever seen?
He's never, I saw this. Where did I say it? I said it on the record. Did you see that my mate, there was a screenshot in our lads group saying that it was like the statement that Lampard had gone and Pochettino had come in. And the in the statement, it said that Lampard had guided them to 12. And my mate was like, that is so generous. Guided. Hey, I've got this. Just go with me. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Yeah, I will guide you to 12, okay? Guided. Guided. That's the equivalent. Guide. If that's guided, that was essentially, he's done that thing where you go to a bowling alley and you have the shutters up and you go, no, I'm not going to go for a minute. I'm going to go boom, 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 boom.
Pins went down, though. Pins went down. we all thought it wasn't going to work when he joined Chelsea for the second time as manager. We didn't realise it would be as bad as it was. It was worse. Somehow so worse bad than we imagined. Like the worst case scenario in my head. And somehow we managed to do worse.
I mean, I've said this a few times. It's a problem in the modern game. It's a problem to become a manager if you've had a great career. That's where we're at now. That's where we're at. Henry.
Too much.
Henry. Terry hasn't really done it yet. It's like, when's he going to have a proper go? I guess
he's probably doing it the right way, though. Being a system manager and learning from these managers. Or
learning,
maybe
learning his trade. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that might be.
Needs to hurry up a little bit, though. Gerrard, obviously, as well.
What, so we can destroy him?
Well, no, you don't want to be a system manager for too long, can you? Because you sort of ferment.
Well, you don't know until his first job. He's probably looking at Gerrard and Lampard going, right, I've got time this, right? Because this could go right tits up for me.
I think, I guess he was next. He was next to jump off the diving board, wasn't he? And then he's gone, no, I'm going to...
No, there's sharks. There's sharks in the water.
I'm going to pop... Yeah, no, I will. No, I will. I will jump in. I just need to pop to Leicester City and get them relegated first.
Because he's dead. He's drowned. And, I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, he's looking over and he's just seeing Gerrard and Lampard face down.
Just bobbling around.
It's tough. Henry can't seem to get a job either. Do you know what I mean? Considering he's so desperate to be a manager, well, get on with it then.
I think
it can't be that hard.
When you're sort of an egotistical, psychopathic maniac who's only interested in their own agenda, then probably managerial.
I've heard some bad stories about Thierry. Sadly, I refuse to fully believe them until I have my own moment with Thierry. But I've heard from a source I trust that he was a huge letdown.
It wasn't a very nice person.
Was it just not? Just not a nice moment.
He's Arsenal fans' hero. So it makes him.
He's a winner.
Sense.
I mean, he is a winner. I think that sometimes it, isn't it? It's like, what's the? Here's a question. What's the toughest punditry green room you could walk into? Like by mistake, you've just gone. As they've gone. No. Your meeting is here. Just go sit in the green room. Oh, we've actually got some of the guys in. You walk. Oh, you open the door, Flav. And you've got to, like, obviously you've got to have a talk. You've got to chat.
Yeah.
I don't want to see
Thierry Henry and Micah Richards on BT Sport are good, so you'd think that would be all right. So I wouldn't put them. I would definitely put Micah Richards. I'd put Keown in there. I'd be like, oh no. Keown, Adams, Tony Adams, probably Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. That would be a tough 2 hours. 3 hours. Not because they're horrible people, but that's like, where's the charisma? Where's the comedy coming from? Who am I going to bounce off?
That is difficult. You're right. Micah Richards is the antidote, isn't he? Like, Thierry Henry takes himself a little bit too seriously. Roy Keane takes himself a little bit too seriously. Although Roy Keane on the overlap, there's a quiz video I clicked on yesterday, and he's bloody good fun.
He's well funny. He's a funny man. And also, Micah Richards brings all the seriousness and the... What would you call it? Like the
tension out of the room, isn't it? Like,
because he's just like, whenever someone says something, sort of, he is, and that's why he's going to make an absolute fortune as a pundit forever.
Yeah, true.
When do you think people are going to turn on Micah Richards? Because there will be a time when people begin to turn on him.
Well, that is my. I think we spoke about that on the mailbag recently. It was like, it does seem like everyone gets cancelled at some point. Do you know what I mean? So sort of, Who's next is the question.
Do you remember? Do you remember that kid who was on stage with Dave, who did the at Glastonbury? I can't remember his name now. Alex.
Yeah.
And he did Thiago Silva. Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
And I remember watching that going, I'll give him 2 weeks before he's turned on. They pick up something about him.
Oh, right.
I think he was unable to just disappear into the ether, but yeah, it's like we have an inbuilt need to destroy anyone's success. Sorry, what is your three then?
I thought that although it would be fantastic, but at the same time, it's fantastic if you walk into that room and I feel like I can ask you questions and you're not going to get annoyed. But I'd be slightly worried about Neil. I also wouldn't want to walk in and see Thierry and Gerard. Like if it's just those two and me, I'd be like, oof.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, they don't want to talk to you. I got that vibe with Terry Venables. I just got the feeling that he was very sweet, but he just didn't want to talk to me. And I think it's fine.
I get it. No, I understand. The thing is that
I was very young.
How many conversations they have about football?
Yeah.
And like, oh God, I've got to have another one now.
I think Terry was excited to chat to, you know, his old lads from, you know, Euro 96. And he just, I'm like 23 year old runner. He just doesn't want to talk to me really. Mm. It's fine. Right. Early hand grenade. I thought you might have fun with this. Dan Graham from last week. If Haaland gets 20 league goals next season, will he be a flop / second season syndrome sufferer? What? Haaland's overachieved to his own detriment for next season. Quite possibly. If he scores 17 goals, it's like he's gone. He's finished.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't stopped progressing since he first kicked to professional football. It's just been like that. And this season was another one where it just went up and up and up. Mm-hmm. You think, can he cut it in the Premier League? I don't know what else he can do. If he scores 17, the narrative will be that isn't enough to keep him in this Pep side because they've changed the system to suit him or some shit that people will come out with. But yeah, if he scores 17 next season, that will be the narrative. You've got to play to your... It won't surprise... He's not going to surprise anyone. The narrative around Haaland next year won't be a surprise at how good or powerful he is. It'll be, well, we know this. What else can you do kind of thing? His link-up play will start to be criticised if he doesn't do it well enough. It's just nonsense. You need to find narratives for everything. There is that question, though, is that what would Harry... If Harry Kane scored 30 in this shit Spurs team,
mate,
what would he have done for Man City?
That was it. Did you ask me this question? Someone asked me this question. I thought it was fantastic. So Haaland scored 36. Kane got 30 in that fucking dog shit team of yours.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
I mean, okay.
Well,
yeah. I mean, I know. I watched it all season.
Clearing up, making it clear.
Right.
First of all, how many goals does Kane score in that Man City team? But how many goals does Haaland score
at
in that
At least 38.
Team?
I think, you know, I heard, I don't know where I heard this question, but I think Haaland scores as many
as
Spurs because the system just is going to be built around him and everything will go through him. His finishing is unreal. I don't think there'll be much of a drop off at Tottenham for Haaland, but I think what Kane does outside the box and his finishing the inside means that he would score he probably got 40, I'd imagine.
I totally disagree. I think
I think. What you think Haaland would get 17?
He doesn't get 30. He doesn't get 30 because you haven't got the other players who can feed him. You're taking away. Sorry, go on. Go.
We scored the third most. Hang on, I might have dreamt this. I think we scored the third most amount of goals in the Premier League since Conte took over. I think that was right. So while we were boring and shit, we did score goals still. I need to find out the stuff.
Okay.
Threw that out there quickly.
What was I going to say? Yeah, no, I don't think you've got any attacking midfielders. Like, you've got no one creating, really.
Yeah.
With that in mind, that makes life very difficult for Haaland. Does Haaland score as many as Kane in that team, probably. Although he's sort of he hasn't got the physicality of Haaland. He hasn't got the fit. I wonder. No. But I think it would be close.
70 goals we scored in 38 games last season. It wasn't the third. It was only behind Liverpool and Brighton. Anyway, look, I think you would score goals. But the fact is that Kane at Man City would have been ridiculous.
Yeah. Jim Big Laugh Award only won this week. It's also the top comment. Phil Boggiard. The replies on this are amazing. So 208 likes on this. Team of the season. Fleet Services toilet cleaning crew. The replies. James McCall says, nice one. Jay Jolly goes, golden. Jackson Music says, working around the clock. Phil comes back and goes, don't bother using the mops and buckets. They just burn them in the car park. Gim says, went there for the first time the other day. Could not believe my eyes that there was a Pizza Express. Also, it was a hot day, so they had the doors open by the toilets. So I got to see the sacred bins. Sacred bins. Jackson Music said there's a faint aroma of Gary Monk drifting through the air. I think that's Cockney rhyming slang.
Whatever happened to him?
Gary Monk, yeah. Great, great bit. Bit late. Bit late in the season. What happened to Gary Monk? Phil Boggiard comes back again. How did it feel to know that a pair of blushing slugs were probably crouched behind them? Patrick Stone, who had not been involved in this conversation, just came in quickly and said, mucky. Make me laugh. Yeah, where is Gary Monk?
He hasn't managed since 2020.
Where was it?
Last
was he at Borough?
Yeah, for Wednesday. So he went to Swansea, he went to Leeds for a year, then he went to Borough for he lasted 6 months at Borough. He lasted just over a year for Birmingham. He lasted just over a year for Sheffield Wednesday as well.
It always confused me, Gary Monk, because he kind of looked like a sort of six-year-old who's sort of, they've done his hair up because they're going to a birthday party. So I just couldn't look at, I couldn't really look at him after that. Right. Unsolved mysteries. We'll get to it. No, I kind of want to talk about Man City and the treble as well. Because I just want to went, let's do it while it's in my mind. If Man United beat Man City in the FA Cup, or if, say, Man City win that one but don't do the treble, is Pep the guy to get them over the line?
it doesn't matter because there is no world where you get rid of him. Because
that's not what I asked for. He's amazing. He'll he's changed
eventually.
The game.
He'll get there eventually.
Yeah, he's taking his time, Flav. He's taking his bloody time.
I'm happy. I'm not willing. I hope he never does it. I hope he never, ever does it. I hope he finishes his career and goes, shit, I failed. That's what I want him to finish his career and think, I'm a failure. They're going to win it. Inter Milan. Come on, man. It's like them playing fucking Villa in the final. No, all due respect to Villa fans.
Don't go to Villa fans. Then.
But what I'm saying is actually compliment to Villa. They're about as good as Inter Milan are. If they played each other in the Premier League, it'd be a 50-50.
It could spin. Well, yeah, what you're saying is Villa are good enough to get to the Champions League final, is what you're really saying.
I'm saying that if Inter Milan are in the Premier League and they played at Villa Park, then it'd be a 50-50 game. If Man City played at Villa Park, it wouldn't be.
Right.
Ergo, if Pep doesn't do it and bottles it this time, maybe he isn't the guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's
all good and well. It's a great start to the sentences. It's all good and well to be the best team of all time. But if you ain't got the pots, then you're tin pot. And, you know, yes. Okay, yeah, all right. They've won the league again.
What a world do we live in? Like, what world when we live in, where Man City fans could walk away from this season still disappointed?
Yeah.
And there'll be some of them going, no, we're not disappointed. We're not disappointed, right?
Yeah.
We won the league. We won the league. We won the FA Cup against them red bastards, right?
There was a guy.
If they don't win the Champions League, they'll be going, in deep inside, they'll be going, oh no.
Yeah, there was a, when I went to the Real Madrid game, I was chatting to one guy who'll remain nameless. And I said, you got, I mean, you got to be buzzing with this. And he went, well, not. I mean, this is, his backup was with that. I went, you got to be, this is exciting, isn't it? That's all I said. He went, well, this is what we are now. This is what the club is. You know,
this is what the club is.
What we do. You know, we'll win tonight. No, don't worry about that. No doubt in my mind. We'll win tonight because that's what we are now. That's what we're. Why? What's your next question? I'm like, hey. I just said you should be excited today. This is Real Madrid, second leg of the Champions League. It's a calm take, mate. All I'm saying is, it's an exciting day for you. No, well, I know, but that's who we are. Fuck off, then.
This is a worrying position to be in if you're Man City fans. This is what you are right now. This is what you are with.
Did I sound Mexican there? Mike says, why are Man City fans Mexican now?
I don't know. I don't think either of us sound Mexican.
Oh, come on.
I've lost. Or maybe I do. Whatever. The fact is, it's a difficult position for... this is a difficult position for Manchester City fans to put themselves in willingly. They're willingly putting themselves in that position where they're going to set themselves up for a foul, because this Pep Guardiola, no matter what they do or how much money they have, as soon as Pep leaves, there will be a huge drop-off. No one will be able to replace him.
Yeah. So just, you got to enjoy it whilst you can, haven't you? There'll definitely be a drop-off for sure. But do you know,
one must beware.
Yeah.
Hubris, Jim.
But I mean, the question is there. I mean, there I say it. From this position, Sam Threadgold asks, is it a bottle job if City don't win the treble? Raph?
I mean,
I think it is. If they get to the final, if they get to the final of the Champions League, having won two of them, all we've got to do is beat Inter Milan. Oh, what you're saying? It can't be a bottle if it's one game of football. Do you see Dortmund? Do you see the Dortmund bottle?
No, I didn't. I know what you're talking about. They were top or something. I missed it. I didn't understand on Twitter why everyone was talking about German football all of a sudden. But apparently everybody watches all football all the time apart from
me. It was free on YouTube. That's why I think a lot of people were watching it. But they had to bloody do was beat Mainz, who'd lost, I think, five of the last six or something. Right. And at home, and they lost 2-1.
They lost?
Well, they might have drawn. Two-nil down. They missed a penalty as well.
All right, shame. Never mind. They what were we just talking about though? Oh, but they bottled. I don't.
What is your take on it? Is this not a defining question, really? What is your take on it?
No, is they've lost a single game of football in the final of a competition. It's not a bottle job. What Arsenal did is a bottle job. If you're that far ahead, that's the thing. If you're throwing away a victory. If you snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, then that's it, isn't it? You bottled it.
Yeah. I think.
But it won't happen. There is no world where Manchester City do not absolutely smash Inter Milan. This will be the most one-sided Champions League final there has ever been.
Yeah.
It could be five or six.
Really?
They're that good.
They are that good.
Inter Milan are that average. Inter Milan are average.
Man City lost their last game.
Yeah, but they've won the league. They don't have to worry about that anymore.
One must. I'm not going to say anymore. One must. Nah. Okay, one must.
No, I bet my house, an absolute house, on Man City winning that game. Inter Milan would struggle to finish in the top six in the Premier League. All you're asking Manchester City to do in one game. A team that knows how to play under pressure is to beat Aston Villa.
I saw on a Match of the Day, Ian Wright kind of made a comment about how the Aston Villa fans had gone after him. And I went,
yeah. They're after everybody.
Yeah. They're the most feared fan base in the modern day.
What? On social media.
Yeah, because there's no real fear in football anymore or you know, being afraid of fans. You're just afraid of the backlash and they're a vibrant bunch, the Villa bunch. But they go, you know, congratulations.
Jacob Ramsey's actually I'd like to hear Catherine's take on this. didn't cover himself in glory, did he? Although, to be fair, he probably didn't know he was being recorded.
What did he do?
But so there was Aston Villa fans turned up to greet the coach, which is a bit over the top, but, you know, it's a Conference League, which was to Jacob Ramsey's point. He was like, what the fuck? Catherine, triggered, rattled, are you, Catherine? Rattled? Mm. Yeah. It was a joke. Of course it wasn't a joke. It was, well, what happened was, James, right? Is he went, what the fuck? It's only the Conference League. And there was like these, there's like 4,000 Villa fans going, right? Catherine Heap now is trying to say it was a joke. It wasn't
what
a joke.
What is this?
He didn't understand. You, well, have you not?
It. I've not seen it.
He just went, it's the only the Conference League. It's almost like, what are all these lot doing here? And the other geezer, to his credit, I don't know who the other bloke was. He went, mate, shut up. Have some respect.
Ezri Konsa calls Jacob Ramsey a twat after hearing him say it's only Conference League. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if this is a good source here. Jacob Ramsey was captured on Douglas Lewis' video questioning the joyous celebrations and impressive turnout of some of the fans following their qualification. Is this just... where is this? Is this just outside the ground then?
Yeah, so they've come home. The players are returning to the ground, right? And they're greeted by 4,000 Villa fans like you would do if you'd won a cup, right? You would greet your returning victor. And Jacob Ramsey, which is, it's more unfortunate because he's one of their local boys, has went, what the fuck?
It's only Conference League. I mean, I like it. I like the ambition. That's like, you kind of want that, don't you?
No, but as a fan, you absolutely don't want that because you're out, you're proud of your players, and then you're being dismissed.
Oh, no, I'm fine with it. He's a winner. Lad's a winner.
I don't know, mate. I think there's a lot of people. Level.
Hang on, who's that? There's a redhead there at the front. Catherine.
Well, is that Catherine? Are you there?
Is that what colour's your hair at the moment, Catherine? There's Catherine there. Oh, it's too close. You can't. I won't show.
Is that enough to bomb him out of the club?
I can see Catherine here. I won't show you. I don't want to embarrass her. But she's holding a. She's got a bit of cardboard and she's written, Jacob, can I have your shirt, please? It says. I'm not sure I hate anything more than that stuff. The shirt stuff. Can't handle it.
Yeah, yeah. Anymore.
My child would not be doing that. Okay.
Catherine, can I ask, because I don't know how everyone turned up to greet the bus. Was it that they played away and they were coming home and everyone went, like, fuck, let's get down the stadium?
No, they played at home.
So
it's
what,
just leaving,
why
isn't
was
it?
There a.
But yeah, where
isn't
are
that
they?
What
leaving?
It was?
Or maybe it's like, you know, it's a bit like, it's like a boy band going, guys, you're not going to be able to drive your cars here. We're going to have to get you in a coach and get you out of here because there's 4,000 of those guys. And Jacob Ramsey put his hand up and went, but it's only the Conference League. I honestly rate it. I like that Jacob Ramsey wants more. He wants more for the club. He sees this club as a, they could go on a fortunate run to a Champions League final if they could qualify for that competition. You know, like Inter Milan.
The players stay at the hotel before games. So that's what it was.
Right. Unsolved football mysteries, Flav. Right. Ready?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
I loved this last year. So we're doing it again. Catherine's first up. Why didn't Bournemouth get a penalty the whole season and haven't since VAR was introduced? Tom Jordan, is that true?
That is an amazing stat.
Although they weren't.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The league, were they, last year? So,
but still, to go for an entire season without a penalty, that's quite rare, isn't it?
That is weird, isn't it? You don't spend much time in the penalty box, though, do they? They sort of play on the counter-attack. So maybe that's
Tom,
why.
Tom in capitals, it is.
It is.
It is true.
Tom, what are you saying? Conspiracy?
Tom, do you know, even know who your penalty taker is? Do you remember?
Yeah, who would take it?
Who would take it?
Solanke?
Yeah, I would say Solanke, probably. But he's the only one I know who plays for them, so...
That is concerning.
Tom, did you go to Callum Billum-Smith's world title win at the weekend at Bournemouth? A world title fight at Bournemouth Stadium, the Vitality Stadium. Mm. Jim, that is a big, big deal. Solanke is the penalty taker. Okay. Go on in.
What does that mean, Tom? If you ever come back up, James, you'll go full Lattice too. What does that mean? Oh, conspiracy. Right, I see what you mean. Fool Lattice. Is that what it is?
Is that what they're all saying down Bournemouth? Because, it's only Bournemouth we don't get a rubber of green from the refs. Grow up. Mm. Fucking hell.
I mean, it is true. Tom Jordan's next up. It felt like Mitoma scored every game week. And Havertz never scored, but both had 7 goals. That's class. So I love this thing. Every year we've got to do this. That is mad.
Yeah.
That's getting a retweet, Tom. Is that true? That's incredible.
They both got 7 goals.
I mean, I guess it's down to opportunity a little bit, but...
Yeah, but no, but it's the way... It's the narrative around the players as well. That's the thing. It changes your perception on how you feel about the players. And because Mitoma was like, oh, this geezer's a world beater. He's going to be amazing. Where have they plucked him from? Havertz has performed exactly the same and gone... No one's like, well, he's donkey, isn't he? Failure. Is he worth 75 million?
Yeah, I bet his assists are surely better. This is taking fucking ages. Where is it, Mitoma? Where are you? I watched a documentary on Messi from BBC.
You bloody love football, didn't you?
I just love it, man. Just search it. everyone watching this again, just search it, Jim. There he is. And that McAllister, I like him. And Argentina, I like them. Yeah. And... the way they spun Martinez's behaviour was fascinating. Yeah. Very good documentary. Is there will there ever be a better story than that Messi story? Like in terms of his whole career, I don't think there will be.
Oh man, Jim, what you're asking me to go? Oh, isn't it amazing? This is a man who has everything. He's had everything in football. So what if he didn't win a World Cup? I couldn't care less.
I'm just saying he deserves it. There you go. Seven goals each. You can't seem to see it because there's a weird thing happening here.
But yeah, we've got 6 assists.
Five assists. Havertz got one.
One.
Yeah.
One.
So
6 assists earlier. Yeah.
Goals per match. Look, pretty much exactly the same. Interesting. Shooting accuracy, pretty much the same. Havertz is better. Shooting success, miles different. Interesting. More shots on target as well. Just didn't get the breaks, did he? Havertz next year, watch out.
Could you say, though, that Havertz overperformed in a poor team, whereas Mitoma was in a great team and, you know, done well?
You mean the opposite? Yes.
No,
probably.
I don't. I don't mean the opposite. I mean, Brighton were an excellent team and Chelsea are a poor team.
Yeah.
Havertz overperformed.
You just said the opposite.
Just shut up.
Watch it back.
Move on.
Thomas Martin, what really happened at the live show with the story that shan't be named? Honestly, Tom, it's in your best interest that you don't know that story.
I don't know why you read that out, because I haven't thought about that for at least 10 days. And now it's back in my brain again.
Yeah, it's grim. No, we care about you lot too much to ever tell you that story. Seriously. Seriously, I get it. I get why you're salivating at the mouth, desperate.
It's the worst thing. It's the fucking worst thing. I'm not even on a joking level. It was terrible. And the fact is, it's probably happening now. Look, so can we move on?
Okay. Ollie states that he didn't say the opposite. James is wrong. Well, someone's wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Ollie also said,
when I feel sad, I think about Messi winning the World Cup and it makes me feel better.
He said that, Sage?
Yeah, Sage said that. It's fucking pathetic.
That's one. But thing is with Ollie Sage is never unhappy now. He's never unhappy.
So happy. He's such a happy individual because he's in love.
Because he waits three times a week. He'll wake up, look to his left, and there she is, his sunshine. Yeah. Rob Turner with a girlfriend as well. He sent me a picture of her.
Peace.
Yeah, man. They're all growing up. They're all growing up and sort of...
But, and both of them, if you put Ollie Sage on top of Rob Turner, they'd be about 13 feet tall.
Yeah. Good point. My life is good, lads, he says. Very much in love. Oh, fuck. You are sickly sweet.
Well, we should have double date, should we? I'm old enough to be both of your parents.
I don't want to spend the evening with you, Ollie.
If I was, you
would be overly tactile with her, Rainey. You know, when you got your mate and they're just like, won't let her go a little bit.
Yeah. And she'd be looking at you with wide eyes going, help me.
Yeah.
They'll probably be getting off of each other. They're at that stage where they're getting off of each other in public.
Yeah. In between the starters and the main. Like, come on.
You're talking about Ollie and Rob. They're not even invited us. It's not even about us.
No, I knew that.
I didn't know that. I thought he was inviting me and Ollie. That's what I thought.
Well, I mean, look, Rob's in Australia, so...
Yeah, stupid idea, Ollie. Yeah.
Albie says, how did Graham Potter manage to be the Chelsea manager for both 2 years and 2 months at the same time? It feel like a slog for him, didn't it? Was he only there for two months? Is that true? Oh, no, he was there longer than that.
No, it just felt like it.
October to what did he get? February. 31 games.
Even the four... Is there a man that makes you feel like... as soon as you mentioned Graham Potter, I felt like a massive velvet curtain had just been dropped on me. I'm like knackered.
The stench of Potter.
It's so boring. It's like you look at him, like people are saying he should be the Spurs manager. And I'm looking, I'm going, yeah, but he's so fucking boring. Imagine all the press conferences where he talks about chances created and actually we wouldn't do it. Oh, mate. Go away.
Yeah, Palace won him, don't they?
Oh, that's perfect. That's absolutely good.
Although, obviously Brighton's a Palace. Could he do such a thing?
Yeah.
I hate you. He's already fucked them off once.
Yeah, true. That is the best rivalry in football, I think, just because it just makes no sense. It's about Alan Mullery. Most people watching this have never heard of Alan Mullery.
It must be so annoying for Graham Potter, who is a good manager, worked his nuts off, and like with no money or whatever, excelled. Then essentially got asked to be given a load of money to go work in a new place of work. That place of work is crap. And so now he has to leave and he's the problem. He's rubbish.
This is part of the reason why Spurs can't attract a manager, because all these managers are going, this is suicide for me. If I go to Spurs, my relationship, my reputation is going to be in tatters. Potter's gone from being one of the brightest coaches to being one that we wouldn't even consider.
What if he were in the space of 5 months? Big Ange. What are you saying?
Postecoglou. Yeah, man, why not?
Postecoglou, providing that Spurs glue that you need right now, maybe.
Yeah, mate, he's going to turn us down. But my feeling is that he's going to turn us down and sign a new contract at Celtic. But
importantly, you'll save face because you'll put out tweets saying that you're not going to interview.
Yeah, but that's it. It's like we're all idiots, right? We're all idiots and the club is just going, no, we weren't interested. No, you were. Yeah, you were. You were interested in them all and they're turning you down because you created such a shit environment in which they can work in.
Is this the end for Tottenham, Flav?
It's the end of any hope of sustained success or a title challenge until for the foreseeable future. However, you've seen these rule changes. This is what, like, this is how Daniel Levy milks himself to sleep every evening, right? Is that these changing the wages, the revenue structures, and it's going to become more and more tight as the seasons roll on from 2024 to 2025. Three seasons, it's 80, 70, and then 60% of your revenue can be spent on wages, which means there's a more even playing field. The discrepancy between those that can and cannot isn't so big.
Sounds good to me.
But for Spurs' perspective, it brings us closer to everybody else. But so the reason why I bring that up is that maybe when that happens, that Daniel Levy will be prepared to spend or behave in the transfer market like other clubs around us. But the answer to your question is at the end. I'd imagine in the short term, it's the end of any kind of title challenge or
top four
possible jaunt trophy.
Yeah.
I think we're going to flit around fifth or sixth.
I'm going to introduce him as Smug Tom Jordan because he is drunk on the success of survival. He says, "The end? When did it start?" Thomas Martin says, "Oof, Tom. Tom Jordan. Who are you?
What? Don't know who they're you going are. Down. Oh, they're fucking.
You wait till Flav gets his hands on you when you lose your first seven games of the season.
Tom, I couldn't give a shit about Bournemouth at all, right? But now I do. What you've done is made me aware of Bournemouth, right?
And that's when it became personal for me.
And what's going to happen now, Tom? Right? Is it's going to come a bit next season where we, as a collective, both James and I dream of a Bournemouth implosion.
Yeah.
A downfall. So your 400 little fans are crestfallen as you fall towards the championship.
400 little fans. Who's a smaller club, Bournemouth or Luton, Flav? What do you think?
They're comparable.
It's very close.
You can't really.
Very close. Well done to Luton.
Look, I get it. Like Tom Jordan, I get it, right? Because now's the time. You've got to enjoy the good bits. You've got to enjoy the good bits. But what I'm feeling is that slight tone in your voice, which I don't like. Yeah.
That's what it's when things are going well. That's when you see the sort of the truth of the man.
Indeed.
There's nothing. I've got to say, Tom, it's difficult to swallow, I'll be honest.
There's very little that's humble about you at the moment, Tom.
Where is the humility, Tom?
Yeah. I can't even remember. We've beat you so many times, I can't think of how many. I don't even remember what. Did we beat you when we went to Bournemouth? I think we probably did.
Yeah, last minute, wasn't it?
Didn't even think about it.
They were 2-0 up. You actually forgot that result. I remember a couple of weeks ago on the pod. Callum with two L's. Says
everything I can about this season.
True, isn't it? This did happen. How Brighton played every game in their home shirt, and Southampton were relegated, but only played four times: twice against Arsenal, twice against Liverpool in the full season. Amazing. Yeah. How did that happen? Zach Aisbit, how did Chelsea disappear for the whole season? Nobody asked why only 19 teams were playing. Well, I disagree with that. Because I think we've spoken about Chelsea a hell of a lot this year. I think we've basked in the mess that is.
Do they finish top four next season?
Do they finish top four? Oof. He's got to do one hell of a job. I guess you've got no Europe. You've got no Europe.
A lot of work to do.
You've got no Europe. Yeah. Depends what Nor striker you're bringing.
Spurs haven't got Europe for the first time in 13 years.
Really?
My workload dropped by third. Qualifying.
About that? Or?
Yeah, fuck it. Well, hang on a minute. So, hang on.
Numbers equals money, doesn't it?
No. 1 minute I've got to talk about Tottenham versus MC Mura or whatever the fuck they were called. You've seen some of the teams in that Conference League. It's like, I didn't know that they existed. Like, I would say 70% of the teams you've never heard of. What, and you want, I'm happy to. We've come up with this ingenious plan is. You just do the main pod on Monday after the thing, and then Thursday you do the Q&A pod where anyone can ask whatever they want.
Lovely.
Exact same amount of podcast. You're not forced to talk about Tottenham versus Quickley Town.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That saves me work as well because I'm not going to get messages from you going, do you know anyone who knows anything about the Cypriot League? No, Flav, I don't.
That key's come back to me as well, man. What a gent.
Mate, he's class. He's really good. He's really, really good. Samuel Lewis, Edison only having 11 clean sheets. Are there lots of good goal-scoring teams in the league, or are City lucky they dominate possession and that their defenders aren't as good as the trophies suggest? That is poor, isn't it? 11 clean sheets for Man City, considering they've scored so many. Had a funny year for Man City. They've hit a new peak in the last 10 games, which looks even better when you see how poor Arsenal have behaved and, you know, the output that they've provided. Mm. But they were sluggish for a lot of the season, Man City. They sort of really strong at the start, then were a bit sluggish.
I watched, there was this thing on, there's a documentary about their win against Liverpool, I think it was. And they started, it was the same thing. They started the season slowly. Yeah. Remember, there was a lot of change at Man City, and then they had Haaland that they were trying to fit in. The system was there to be changed. Alvarez had come in. You know, they'd shipped out Cancelo, which everyone was, you know, confused about.
Mm.
So, you know.
Oh, mate. Got the job done, haven't
they? Best Premier League team I've ever seen. So,
yeah.
Second half of the season.
Why did Conte rate Højbjerg over Bissouma? Can you answer that quickly?
The answer is no one knows, but Conte said that Bissouma doesn't understand the way we want to play. And Højbjerg in his eyes did, but I think that Bissouma was a club signing, and anything that happened outside of Conte's control, he literally just dismissed, i.e. Jed Spence, Dan Juma, and Bissouma. The last two or three games, which is the reason probably why this question has been asked, Bissouma's come into the Spurs team like, how the fuck have we not been playing this geezer?
Really?
Like, how have we not been able to fit him in the team? Yeah, so...
Chelsea is an unsolved mystery.
Fucking
Is it an unsolved mystery? I don't know. I feel like Tottenham and Tottenham fans feel like they've had a worse season than Chelsea when Chelsea have had a worse season than Tottenham.
I don't think Chelsea fans feel that.
No, that's what I mean.
We both feel about as bad about the season as each other.
But you have finished higher than them, like miles higher.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's much difference between how we feel. I think that the fact that we've gone steadily backwards is where the sort of anger... It doesn't matter where you finish. If you feel like your club is regressing, then it is not an easy thing to accept.
Yeah, I guess so. And the management situation.
Everybody's looking at Chelsea and thinks, this is just madness. This is just madness what's happened. This will never happen again. Whereas Tottenham, it feels like a slow and steady decline, which is different.
Okay. Pano wants to know, what other suggestions has Todd Boehly been given by James Corden? Who knows? Adam Latchford, why does Southampton lack so much experience, yet they have so many experienced players? It's true. Well, there is a clear divide there. I think you see that with squad building at times, Adam. Where you're trying to bring in the new blood. And that's why I don't feel too bad about Southampton. I think it'll be all right next year. Whereas
really good young players.
Yeah, and they can let the old fellas go and, you know, give the new guys time and knowing that they've got potential and sell on value. Liege, is Haaland AI? Maybe.
I reckon he's doping. I can't really say that, can you? Mm. I mean, it's literally a slanderous comment on your YouTube channel. Allegedly, how can he not be? He's a robot. Blah, 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 blah. There you go.
Yeah. Harry Rouse, how did Brighton get pumped at home to Everton? I still don't know.
I don't know, because the performance they put in against Arsenal was probably was the most complete performance of the season.
Yeah. So how are teams from lower leagues, Ajax, Shakhtar, able to inflate the prices of their relatively unproven players, Anthony, Mudryk, and swindle the big teams? Well, it's because the big teams have loads of money. There you go.
And that £80 million is paid over many years. It's like, if you want... Everyone's played Football Manager, right? If you want to spend more money on a player or convince a player, you go for them more, but then you extend it over a many-year period.
Okay. Why Patrick Vieira lined up with Jordan Ayew, Jeffrey Schlupp, and Jean-Philippe Mateta in the same team? Well, they're part of the squad. And I think, look, Jordan Ayew, I've always rated him. He's quality.
Is he?
This is a good question. If the ball's in play for 57 minutes in a 90-minute game, where is the other 33 minutes I paid for? Hmm. Did Edison actually make a single save? I think I can make it. I remember making one save against Real Madrid. That's it.
It is shocking that you actually only see 57 minutes of football in a Premier League game, if that is the average.
Here's a good one, Adu. How did David De Gea win the Golden Glove despite some of the shock results that Man United had this season?
Because he had 17 clean sheets. I was surprised to hear it. This 17 clean sheets.
That is the nonsense. Not, I say nonsense, but this is where the Golden Gloves is falling down now.
Yeah, it's a pile of shit.
You can't... Unwritten rule incoming, right? You cannot win the Golden Glove when you're the reason why they went out of the Europa League.
No, I've got a better one.
You've lost 7-0 in a game of football.
That's the one. That's the one. You can't win Golden Glove if you've conceded more than 5 in one game.
Yeah.
Because that's the opposite of Golden Gloves. That's chocolate gloves.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have won the chocolate gloves.
Yeah. Yeah, he shouldn't have allowed that. He should have said, I can't accept this because of what happened to Anfield.
Yeah. And he's like, David De Gea himself is a mystery. Like, is he good? He doesn't look like a goalie, does he? Do you know what I mean? Doesn't look like a goalie, doesn't feel like a goalie. Yet he keeps winning Player of the Year. He won Golden Glove this time, despite losing 7-0 and, you know, bombing them out of Europa League as well. Funny, isn't it? I mean, he must have been slightly ashamed. Because also, Golden Gloves with clean sheet, ultimately, that's about the ball not getting to you. It should be done. It needs to change. It should be done on save. What's the one? Expected save.
It should be done on save percentage. Or is it? What's the one where you...
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah.
That's what it should be done on. How effective are you in your team? What's your best save percentage? I'm going to have to look it up. Find out who actually is the fucking Golden Gloves.
Yeah, who is doing it? We can do that quick. What is the fucking... I always forget the goalie one. Here we go. Das Premier League.
Right, the Golden Gloves goes to Bert Leno. No, it goes to David Raya.
David Raya, there you go.
Yeah, his stat is 154. I don't know what that means.
What, is it save percentage? Is that what you're doing?
I've done... Got saved, I think.
Yeah, save percentage is David Raya. And I think you'd have to have over 100 saves, I think. Or you got...
De Gea is seventh.
Yeah, he's 10th on my one. It's end of save percentage. He's 10th. That is a farce. That's a farce.
Yeah, clean sheets is nothing.
Look how many saves he's made. Look, in terms of just general... See, that's the other thing as well, right? This is a good example. Edison, when he's won it before, he's made 46 saves, let's say, right? David Hayes made 99 saves. He's made eighth most saves. There's no way he wins Golden Glove. It's David Raya. When will they listen? Poor. Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that.
Shot percentage.
Is he good?
David... Yeah, he's going as well, isn't he? Like, put 40 million on him.
Have they?
They've got a year left on his contract, yeah. His save percentage is 75%, so he saves 3 in 4 shots at goal. And where is David Hand? 9th. He's a 69. It's nonsense. They need to change it.
When you think of Tottenham, not Conte, who, and you think of the mess that it's been, which player embodies that mess?
Eric Dier. Eric Dier, Sanchez and Lloris.
That's a good one for the guys. For your team, who's your face of 2022-23? I'd be intrigued to know who's everyone's faces. And I think it'll be like a positive face if you've had a good season. So like, imagine, Catherine, would it be Ollie Watkins? Yeah, and there's so many contenders for Tottenham one. Lloris,
Richarlison. Sanchez. Yeah. All of them, man. There was a vote on who should be the player of the season. Like, so you take Kane out of it. Then there's like, who else is there?
Yeah.
Genuinely, number two could be Fraser Forster. Genuinely.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? No.
Yeah.
Emerson Royale, no?
Yeah, maybe. Emerson Royal, he's had a sort of 6 out of 10.
Someone said
Perisic, Perisic got 11 assists.
Well, yeah, that's so someone
that's
said
pretty
that.
Good.
How he's another one where his numbers are all right, yet somehow he's had a stinker of a season.
He hasn't had a stinker of a season. He's been fine going forward. It's just when he's been as a been asked to defend, he's just got found. He can't defend basically. But give him the ball around the box, and everyone's in trouble.
Oh yeah,
a wand of a foot, okay. Both feet.
Comment of the week: Thomas Martin,
Bentancur as well, but he only played half a season. As a skinny fat Huey says, Bentancur or Forster for player of the season. That
skinny fat Huey. Thomas Martin said, "I am honoured to accept the award from last week's podcast for Slug of the Year. Congratulations once again, mate. I'd like to thank my parents, my sister, and my dog who are supporting me as we can only move forwards." And oh, to answer your question, Flav, he's an Everton fan primarily. Also has soft spots for Leeds, Palace, and Rovers. Still wants to do well, but just not as much as Everton. Congratulations, Tom. Just about stayed up, didn't you? You lucky, lucky boy. What else we got here? Oh, this, I thought this was a good question. Sly Bags. I would say Eddie Howe is the safest manager of the top six placing teams in the Premier League this year. Most Newcastle United fans know that he has overachieved and will be given time as we believe in the squad club project. Most people going to the game are those that went during the Ashley era. Of the, let's say, big seven, just chuck you in there. Actually, we can't chuck you in there, so we'll keep it six. Who is the safest? Because you haven't got manager. Who's the safest manager out of that lot, and who's most likely to go?
Arteta's safest. Pep's safest. Arteta, then Klopp. Eddie Howe isn't safe. I think there's an illusion that the will of the Newcastle fans means an absolute thing to the owners. They couldn't give a shit about Newcastle, about the fans, about Eddie Howe. All they want is to create Newcastle to become something that serves their political agenda. That's why they're there. They're not there to go, let's make the people of Newcastle happy, right? So if you think as a Newcastle fan that your will has anything to do with their decision-making, it's, I think, naive, but whatever. If it isn't going well very quickly, then the one thing they have is resources. And you think if the opportunity to bring in Ancelotti was there, or a world-famous manager, Zidane, that they go, actually, no, let's stick with Eddie Howe. He's done all right. No chance. If he's out of reach, And doesn't continue to overperform, he's going to be gone.
Yeah, if they're 12th by January.
And the project that you just talked about is spending as much money as they're absolutely allowed to spend. That's how restricted this project is. If they could do what Man City done, they would do what Man City did. There's not this slow build project that Newcastle fans are talking about. This isn't some sort of holistic movement by these people. They want to spend as much money as they possibly can, but restricted by FFP and Premier League rules. Now you're in the Champions League, you will now spend up to the limit that you can spend, and so on until you have a different football club altogether. So what I'm saying is you can't have this idea that we're doing it properly. You're playing within the rules that have been put in place to ensure that there isn't another Chelsea and Manchester City situation.
But I guess, yeah. But they are doing it properly, but I think the one thing you can say with the manager situation is that is one area where you can change it at any point, really.
They're doing it properly because they don't have any other choice. Everybody has to do it properly now. They're not the good guys in this bad pool of bad people.
So I would say I would agree with you just about. I think I put him pretty close with. So I think Pep's obviously untouchable. Klopp's still pretty close to untouchable. And Ten Hag is in a very strong position. So in terms of the most precarious managers for that of those top six, I think Arteta and Howe are easily the bottom two for me.
Why? I think Arteta is allowed to continue to do whatever he wants. They didn't sack him with 2 8th place finishes. They didn't sack him with 2 5th place finishes. I think that they're on board massively, and that they have structure and leadership at Arsenal.
I think
which makes me sick because it's what we want.
I think that's the problem with the with the question is that obviously they're all in very strong positions. But I could imagine it going wrong for Arteta next year. Just things happen, right? Be interesting to see. Right. Benji Sherlock, potential new bit. Things we were worried about as kids but turned out to not be an issue in real life. Personally, for me, it was quicksand and the Bermuda Triangle. 70 likes on this, 14 replies. So things that you're worried about as a kid that turned out to not be an issue in real life, let us know in the comments. Oz Spurs said, Arsenal winning the league for me. Daniel Cooper, I never understood how supermarkets always had food. I thought they'd run out. Ghosts, although obviously Stoko Pops here. Luke, who's one of our patrons, he had a tough moment in his house, which was haunted by a ghost pig.
Oh, and dogs, wasn't it?
I thought it was a pig. I can't remember.
Dogs.
Probably face as well. Giraffe Boy, electric Lion. Pylons Lion. And substations. Watching those safety films at school were terrifying. I don't remember that. Are you American? Joe Peewood.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't realise that poops were food. I got scared and confused at how I could eat so much birthday cake and didn't know where it went. I thought it'd fill up my insides until I died. That's heavy stuff. Ryan Morris, trains. So many noises that in any other mode of transport would terrify you. My mate gets so annoyed. Craig gets so annoyed at scooters because they're so loud. He's like, there's no need for them to be that loud. I just can't get it. I couldn't understand why everyone was so calm. I felt sure that they would either come off the rails or stop and we wouldn't be able to communicate with other trains causing crash. Stephen Devlin. It's talking about quicksand. Philosophical Tramp. For me, it was tornadoes. When I heard about them, I was terrified that one day I'd randomly get swept away at any moment. When I was a bit older, I was told that they don't even happen in the UK, much to my relief. However, I recently learned that the UK actually has more tornadoes per square mile than any country on Earth. But they're so small that they're unnoticeable. I didn't know that. Now that I know this, though, I started seeing them everywhere. Bits of rubbish and leaves being blown in circles. Is that true?
But you're just talking about swirl of wind. They're not like mini tornadoes, are they? I mean,
yeah.
What are we doing here, Jim?
Not sure. Last one. Maybe it's a one-week bit. It's easy. Ash, whenever I'd try and turn the interior light on in front of car and my mum would go crazy as if turning that light on would cause all the cars around us to swerve into us.
It does, even to this day, is when I'm driving along and it's dark and the boys might put it on in the back for a second. I'm like,
It's panicking.
Turn it off.
Yeah, it's not loud.
Turning that on?
It's not loud. You're not allowed that on. I always think that when I just put the light on if he's crying, like if the kid's in the background, just pop the light.
Not loud.
That's true. Like, that's probably a better bit. Is what stuff that isn't really illegal or just like very vaguely illegal that you sort of abide by.
Like, do you know massive. Black cabs are still supposed to have a bale of hay in their boot, feed the horses for which you used to pull. The cabs back in the day, the law never changed. It didn't need to change because it became redundant. But it's still a legal requirement for a black cab to have a bale of hay in its back, in its boot.
That's bad. Nosh Chat. Nevis. Last week we were talking about how this one guy, like when he gets a blowjob, he likes to do the Perlo stance. Which just hands on hips, really. And Nevis said, surely the standard free kick position while receiving a nosh is the Ronaldo wide stance. That was it. That was good. Mythical Nosh. Great way to start a comment, Ollie Drew. Well done. We'll finish the pod probably here. But with this, what I like about this comment is that I don't think on any other podcast you would bother even writing this. Yet he's not only written it, I'm reading it out. Mythical Nosh. At secondary school, everyone in my year knew this kid in the year above who had supposedly noshed off his dog as a dare. The story was he had a few mates around his house. I love this idea. The story was he had a few mates around his house and they had a few bevs. We had a few bevs. We've all had a drink, right? We had a few bevs. Someone then suggested how funny it would be to see what his dog would do if he gave him a little noshing. To this day, I don't know if it's true or not, but all I can say is that they had that he had the face of someone who's partial to a bit of dog noshing. Calling it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm calling it.
Surely not. Surely not. Right. And there we have another podcast, our penultimate podcast of the season, Flav.
We'll have one next week. What's happening next week?
Next week's Champions League final. I thought we'd finish on that one. No.
God. Well, Champions League final. We'll watch. Of course. Next week. Oh, no. Shit. I'm in Portugal next week.
Oh, shit. Oh, is this it then?
For the whole week.
Is this it? Is this the end of the season?
Do a week after. We could do a week after, but it doesn't make much sense. Yeah, I mean.
Calling it? Are we calling it? Let's call it then.
Going to watch Primavera.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right, then. Well, there you have it. Do you know what is the 38th podcast? So that is the arbitrary amount of podcasts that you must do in a season. Premier League football.
Indeed. I mentioned this, right? Do you know Fred again?
Yeah. Of course.
So he has a bloke who has on stage with him called Adam. Adam's like his DJ or goes with him everywhere.
Right.
He is a patron of the Fighting Cock. He heard I was going to Primavera. He said, "I'm at Primavera. Why don't you come backstage and hang out?"
No.
Yeah. He's TikTok and it's huge. He's like, this geezer's massive. But I had no idea.
Oh my God.
So that's what I'll be doing about this time next week. Although it does give thunderstorms in Porto. How's your luck for that?
Hey, don't worry about that. Hey, look at us, eh? Look at us. Who thought? Who would have thought? I'm also you, really, on this occasion, because you're on our massive time. You've got just, wow, that's wonderful. Flav, it's been a joy. Another season four of James and Flav for now is at an end. If you do want to spend a bit of time with us each week, we are five away from 500 on the mailbag, on the Patreon. Links in the description.
But
obviously it's been an amazing year for the pod. We've done our first live show. I think we'll look to do more of that. And we are mates with a lot of you now, which is also wonderful. And we just have a good time and people continue to understand and enjoy the podcast. And importantly, get involved in the comments every single week because, of course, this podcast is screwed without you lot. So thank you for getting the jokes, understanding it, not cancelling us and allowing the podcast to thrive. Final word for Flav, go on.
I love you all. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for downloading. We'll see you next season. Love you all. Mailbags, though. Mate, if you want to hear more than this, become a patron. Loads of shit on there.
So easy.
Just give us £5 or £4 or whatever it is, and then there's more.
Mm. Indeed. Right, guys.
Give us lots of money. All right, everyone, love you all. Love you all.
Bye. Love you all.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.